crash and thunder and boom. I didn't know we were supposed to get a thunderstorm. About 10 minutes later, I go downstairs, I look out the window, snowing like crazy. Everything's covered. So now I don't have a garage. So I had to get out there and clean the car off. But on the way here, it kind of went more towards rain. It was kind of a mixed. But I don't think they were calling for any snow of any measurable amount, but who knows, they change the weather every minute anyway. Okay. Maybe we can open in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, again, as was said, we thank you that we are able to assemble here this evening. Lord, just help us as I bring forth this message. God, that you would give me the words to speak, that they would be acceptable in your sight. God, we thank you again for your mercy and grace. And again for this time, I ask your blessing upon it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Question. I'm going to start with a question. How many like to exercise? Yeah, there's a few people. Right. Good. I hate exercise. When I was younger, I didn't have to worry about it because I was active all the time. But as you get older, you kind of wear it down a little bit. Then you retire. And you wear it down a little bit more. I don't have to get up so early now. You know, I look out the window, it's snow, and I roll over. Although I do set my alarm clock in the morning for 6:30. I like to try to get. But it's a neat thing. Alarm clocks, they have the snooze alarm on them. Boom. And it's 10 minutes every time I hit the thing. Boom, 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 boom. I can get 30 minutes out of it. But exercising. You know, we just had some snow and stuff. You don't realize, and I don't realize, how out of shape I am until I have to start shoveling snow. Next thing you know, you know. Or walking, even just walking. I walk a short distance, I'm tired. No. I used to walk miles at a time. Now, a little bit more effort. And I go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you need to eat, you know, eat right and everything. You need to exercise. But you don't have to exercise, you know, you don't have to run the marathon or anything. Just walking. Walk 30 minutes a day. Sounds easy. I might do it for 2 or 3 days in a row, then miss a day or two, and then the next thing I know is I'm not walking anymore. You know, I got other things to do, etc. So what are some of the exercises I can do physically to keep in shape? Well, there is walking. If you're into bodybuilding, all these things. But if you're like me, it's an effort. I used to go to the gym every morning. That's another interesting thing. When I worked, out of all things, I used to go to the gym every morning. I used to get up 3:30 in the morning to go to the gym. My wife thought I was nuts. But I wanted to get it done fast. I wanted to get it done early. So I spend an hour at the gym. Then I can go to work after that. I used to walk every afternoon at lunchtime, walk around every place. Now, I haven't seen the gym in so long. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's what I want to talk about, exercise. For some of us, it's easy. For others, it's like myself, it's not so easy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Going down to verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. There's two exercises there. There's a godly exercise and a physical exercise. Well, we're all familiar with physical exercise. What do we know about physical exercise? Is it profitable? Yes, it is. For how long? Probably till you die. And if you don't exercise, we end up with problems. You can get problems. That's why they always say, exercise, walk, exercise. Good for your heart, good for your circulation, all this stuff. And if you don't do it, you pay the consequences. So they're talking about godly exercise. Godly exercise, on the other hand, verse 8, is profitable. Not only now is it profitable, but even in the future. Profitable now, and even when we get to heaven. To grow and mature in the Spirit. So, what are some godly exercises I can do to keep in spiritual shape? First, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There we have the word work. Work out. Work out. Exercise. Exercise your salvation. Exercise my salvation. I'm going to look at this in a personal way. You can apply it to your lives if it applies, but this is how I apply it to my own self. How do I do that? What are some exercises I can do to exercise my salvation? I'm saved. How do I exercise that? Well, let's do exercises now. Going through the Bible, going through Scripture. Let's look at some. Psalm 37. An exercise requires effort. Psalm 37, if I can get there. You can't exercise if you just sit in a chair and do nothing, or very minimal. Anyway, Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I see three exercises there, at least three. The first one, in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's an exercise. What's the benefit of that exercise? Well, we are told, We are told that he would dwell in the land, and verily he shall be fed. He shall dwell in the land and be fed if he trusts in the Lord and does good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What's the result of that? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Result? He will bring it to pass. So what if I don't trust in the Lord? What if I don't delight in the Lord? What if I don't commit? What if I don't exercise? Am I missing out on anything? Well, in those three verses, I'm missing out on being fed. I'm missing out on God giving me the desires of my heart. I'm missing out on He shall not bring to pass His ways in my life. I look to God. God, I want you to have your way in my life. But I'm not going to commit my way. I'm not going to commit myself to you. I'm not going to delight in your word. I'm not going to do any of those things. But God bless me. Lack of exercise. That takes effort. I hate exercise. As a believer, should I hate exercise? Well, we say no, but Luke. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 9. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, Jesus said, If any man will come after me, if any man's going to come after me, he's going to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does that mean? I mean, we could read that. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross daily. A cross. We bear crosses. Trials. Tribulations that we're going through. To be able to endure those things in the face of trials. Endure continuing. Continue to press on in the midst of those things. To follow Christ. Am I able to do that? Isaiah chapter 40. That's a tough exercise, by the way. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31. Well, verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that commit themselves to the Lord, they that follow the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is it possible? Yes, it is. But it's an exercise. We have to be willing to exercise. What's another exercise I can do? Romans 12. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To renew my mind. For what reason? That I may prove, that I may put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to know what the will of God is. And if the will of God, I want to prove it. I want to put it to the test. I want to exercise it. I want to exercise the will of God. To renew my mind, I need to renew my mind. I need to get out of myself, get out of worldly thinking, get into the Word of God, get into the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. To prove it is the will of God. Not only to prove it, but Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'm going to be turning to quite a few verses here. I could do a lot more, but just want to get a sample of things I can do in a spiritual exercise. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. Can fools walk circumspectly? No, they have their problems, but we have to do it in a wise way. Walk circumspectly as being wise. We need to redeem the time, and in so doing, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's one thing to know what the will of the Lord is. It's another thing to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's another thing to exercise the will of the Lord. All these things have a purpose for me. Another place, Psalm. The book of Psalms. Many of these verses are familiar with us, I'm sure. Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. See, I don't want to get caught up in the ungodly world, ungodly counseling, and ungodly thinking, ungodly works, ungodly doing. Is that where I find my delight? Do I find my delight in worldly things? Or do I find my delight in the Word of God? Here in verse 2 it says, But his delight, that's the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Not 20 minutes, not a half an hour, day and night. It's in my mind, it's in my mind. It's working in me, it's working in me. I'm thinking it through, working. What's the result of that exercise? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I benefit, I prosper from that exercise. Another exercise I can do, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I be a workman and be ashamed? God gives me an exercise to do and I don't do it. Is that a shameful thing? Study. Strive. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not unto myself, but unto God. God wants me to grow. God wants me to mature. God wants me to get strong. A workman that needs not be ashamed. Thus, I'm able to rightly divide the word of truth. Can I rightly divide the word of truth? Can I explain it? Can I live it? Can I outwork it? Two more places. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 11. 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God sometimes has to chasten us, has to prod us, get our attention, get us to exercise for a reason. But sometimes I don't feel like it. What can I do? Is there any help for me? Well, verse 12, wherefore lift up your hands which hang down and feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, I don't feel like doing it. But if I want to walk straight, if I want to grow, if I want to mature, if I want to get strong, if I want to be able to tackle the problems in my life, if I want to be able to tackle trials that I'm going through, whether it's physical, mental, material, spiritual, I need to grow. I need to be strong to be able to do that. And finally, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Skipping down to verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all that, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Taking the shield of faith, being able to use that shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. How much do I practice that? How much do I exercise that? Do I exercise that? How proficient am I with the sword? How proficient am I with the word of God? Do I exercise that? There's a danger of not doing that. It's like being in the military. You go through basic training, you're trained and stuff, and then you goof off. There's a consequence to pay for that. Because now all of a sudden when you need it, the time comes, you're not ready. God always wants us to be ready for the spiritual warfare. But I, being lazy and one that hates exercise, it would be easier if I had some help. It'd be like going to the gym. You know, you can go to the gym and try to exercise by yourself, but if you had a trainer, a coach, to work with you, to help you out, that's motivation and that's help, and you can see results, you're doing it right. And that's what I need spiritually. I need a coach, a trainer, if you will. Ezekiel. Turn the Old Testament to Ezekiel, if you will. Chapter 36. See, that's my problem. By nature, I'm lazy physically. It comes naturally for me. It's natural. I like resting. I like eating, but I don't like exercising so much. Spiritually, I can become lazy spiritually also. Now, in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, now, I know he's speaking to Israel. This is for Israel, but it also can apply to us. It says in verse 26, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. When I was saved, God made me a new creature. He gave me a new spirit. He gave me his spirit. A new heart that God can work with. He does it for Israel. He does it for myself too, for us. Now, let's see how that works. Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 14. You see, God makes gives us all these exercises to do. He wants to do all this exercise. But he doesn't leave us on our own to do it. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And again in chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. You see, God does give us, if you will, a coach, a trainer, a teacher, to guide us into all truth, to help us exercise the truth of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. and verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know his will, understand his will, do his will, exercise, that we might be exercised in the right kind of way. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. He's with us to train us. If you ever had a trainer or a coach, especially in a gym training you, those guys can be brutal. You know, let's do some leg raises. That thing's killing you. He's talking, 10 more. You know, come on. That's the Spirit of God. It's prodding us. Keep going. Now, the question is, am I listening to my teacher? Am I listening to my trainer? Am I listening to my coach? Am I obeying him? Am I listening to the Spirit of God? Am I obeying him? Or am I Ephesians chapter 4? The book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Am I letting the Spirit of God train me, if you will? Or do I grieve him? And the word grieve means to cause grief. To cause someone to be in heaviness, to hinder him. Do I grieve the Spirit of God? In other words, am I going to do it my way or his way? My way is easier. Being the lazy person that I am, I'll do it the lazy way. I'll do it my way. It's easier. Am I going to profit from that? I've got a trainer showing me how to do sit-ups. The proper way to do the sit-ups. Well, I don't want to do it that way. Push-ups are even worse. Push-ups. When I was in basic training, just to get off this a little bit, when I was in basic training, we had to do calisthenics and stuff, and we were doing push-ups. Now, I was a little guy, so I was like at the end of the barracks, the DI's at the other end. So what the thing was, we're going to do push-ups. I go up and to his count. Up, down, up, down. So we started doing that. And I realized he couldn't see me. So I did every other, you know, I'd go down and stay down for one count. So I was doing it every other time. I was having a good time. All of a sudden, I go to go up, and there's a boot on my back. The drill instructor standing on my back. And he has everybody stop. He says, okay. Now, Tyson's going to show us how to do push-ups properly with me on his back. You see? I was goofing off. And he didn't want me to goof off. There's a purpose for that. The Spirit of God doesn't want me to goof off either. So I need to be careful that I don't grieve him. I don't try to do it my way. Another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. We're given a whole list of things here, and one of them is in verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench the Spirit. It means to extinguish him. Extinguish it. You have a flame, you put the flame out. How can I extinguish the Holy Spirit? By simply not doing it at all. Why would he waste time with me if I'm going to do it my way, not his way? Or why would he bother with me if I'm not going to do it at all? It's like going to the doctor. He's giving you something to take this medicine to get better. And if I don't take the medicine and I keep going back to the doctor, how often is he going to tell me to find another doctor? The Spirit of God is the same way. Is there a danger? Is there a danger for me in being lazy? Is there a danger for me in grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, doing things my way or not doing them at all? Is there a danger? Not listening to the coach, not listening to the teacher. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I'm talking to myself in this because I do need constant prodding. And I catch myself sometimes goofing off, if you will. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you're not growing, you remain a babe, you're losing out. If you refuse to exercise, little babies, they exercise naturally. They do things, you're growing up. Spiritually, we need to keep exercising. But as we grow older, sometimes we get tired. And there's a danger. There's a danger of that. There's a danger of not growing, not maturing. And that's what God wants us to grow and mature. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs has a lot to say, by the way, about being lazy. So we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs. Chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. What's a sluggard? When I think of a sluggard, I think of a slug. You ever see those things? Like a snail with no shell. They're disgusting. They're slime. You know, sometimes you find a roll of log over or dead leaves or something. There's those yucky things. I remember one time I threw it in a bird bath. They go, whoa, to get real long. They don't do anything, just go long, and then drown or whatever. But they don't do anything. God's calling us that those that aren't exercising spiritually, he's calling us sluggards. Oof. The sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. I can't go out and plow my field because I'm cold. It's too windy. It's raining. Too many rocks. I'm tired. I didn't get enough rest last night. All these excuses. What's the result of that? The result of that is when harvest comes, he's going to have nothing. When the trials come and the temptations come, you aren't going to have any strength to do it, to get through it. You're going to get knocked down. Proverbs 26. These verses should be easy to find because we're going to stay in Proverbs for a little bit here. Proverbs 26. Verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man, there's our sluggard, The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion's in the street. I can't go to work. Whatever, I can't. All right. That's one excuse. Number two, as the door turneth upon the hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. Alarm clock goes off, time to get up, boom, hit the snooze. Boom, I get 10 more minutes, whatever. I don't feel like getting up, I'm tired. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He's too lazy. He's too lazy to feed on God's word. No, he may be able to open it, open the Bible, but it doesn't go too much further than that. I might read a verse. Next thing you know, what'd you get out of? What did I get out of what I just read? Ooh, I don't know. Did you ever do that? You're reading a book or something, a novel, or even one of my problems. I'm watching the news because I'm waiting for the weather to come on, and I'm watching it. Next thing I know is I wake up, everything's over. What happened? It's like that in the Word of God. You know, if we're not with it when we read the Word of God, we're going to miss out on everything. We open the Bible, but we don't study it as we should. That's the sluggard. Proverbs 13. In verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but it hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. What do we know about the sluggard? He doesn't feel like doing anything. The sluggard. He's lazy. Comes up with all kinds of excuses why he can't grow anything, do anything. Oh, he has a great desire, you know, for things. Oh, I wish I had that, I'd had that. But he's not willing to work for it. But the diligent, the one who's very diligent and ready and willing to work, he is made fat. He can get those things. Proverbs 18. And verse 9. He's also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. One who is lazy in his work, doesn't put any effort into it. He's a brother to the great waster. Now, what do you mean by that? A waster. Someone who could be sloppy or doesn't utilize the time right. I've got something better to do, but I've got to put this puzzle together. But I'm looking forward to doing something else. I don't really have time for this. I bang it together. Who knows? I'm done. That's a great waster. He doesn't utilize his time profitably. That's a brother of someone who's slothful. They go together. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful. We've just been looking at that. The lazy, sluggard, waster. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So here we have a lazy person who has a vineyard. And he's void of understanding. He needs to work it out. Verse 31, and lo, This vineyard of his was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Have you ever gone by a house, we'll say a home, that's in desperate need of repair? Shingles are falling off. Shutters are falling off. The lawn hasn't been mowed in 3 months. You know, junky cars all over the place. People still live there, but making no effort to clean it up or anything. Well, this in this situation, it's a vineyard, a garden. It's all broken down. Disrepair. Verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. What is that? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You're sleeping, you're lazy, you're not working it out, you're not exercising. Boom! All of a sudden, you got a problem and you can't work it out. You're going to get hit with some kind of trial is going to come your way, some kind of affliction, something. And by the way, that that passage reminds me of this assembly. If we're not careful and we're not with it, this assembly can fall in disrepair. Spiritually, I'm talking about. This assembly can spiritually be bankrupt. And we don't even know it. And we can end up with the world. But God warns us. That's why he wants us to exercise individually, but even collectively as an assembly. He wants us strong and healthy so we're not overcome by these things and we're able to tackle all these problems that come our way. Thus, one more place. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Here we go. And there's that word again. Lazy bum. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. A little ant, out of all things. This little ant, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, in other words, there's nobody whipping this little ant, causing it, forcing it to work. It's doing it on its own. Therefore, verse 7, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. So, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? When are you going to wake up? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come on one as it travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It's going to catch you off guard. The ant, the little ant. Now, I know my Sunday school class has heard this, and you are probably familiar with Aesop's fable of the ant and the grasshopper. Ever hear that? Oh. In case you haven't, I'm going to read it anyway. A little refreshment. A refresher. In a field one summer's day, a grasshopper was hopping about, chirping and singing to his heart content. An ant passed by, bearing along with great toil an ear of corn he was taking to the nest. Why not come and chat with me, said the grasshopper, instead of toiling and moiling that way? I'm helping to lay up food for the winter, said the ant, and recommend you do the same. Why bother about winter, said the grasshopper? We've got plenty of food at present. But the ant went on his way and continues its toil. When the winter came, the grasshopper had no food and found itself dying of hunger while it saw the ants distributing every day corn and grain from the stores it had collected in the summer. Then the grasshopper knew it is best to prepare for the days of necessity. God wants us to prepare for the days of necessity, the battles that we are to fight, that we're going to fight. We are fighting. Some of us are in the midst of great battles, personal battles. We need to be good soldiers, I want to close with Hebrews chapter 5. Now, we read this in the beginning, towards the beginning, one of the other verses we read, but I want to go back to Hebrews 5 and read verse 13 and 14 again. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Those that refuse to exercise, those that see everything is okay right now. I have no need to exercise. I don't need to exercise right now. Things are fine. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason and use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Which one am I? I ask myself, which one am I? Am I the ant or the grasshopper? Am I the healthy, mature, strong believer? Or am I the lazy, sluggard believer? Which one am I? Well, if we don't watch it, we could be the sluggard. And that's part of our problem. We get lulled to sleep. We need to exercise what God has given us. God has given us His Holy Spirit to help us. He doesn't leave us on our own. He gives us a trainer, a teacher, a helper, a comforter, all those different words. Are we grieving Him? Are we hindering Him? Are we quenching Him? Are we, the believers we should be, are we growing and knowing? Are we workers that make God happy? Or are we workers and believers that bring shame to our God? So that's my question. Am I a healthy believer or a lazy believer?